Good now to you all. On the show today, our headline is the modern experience of managed metadata services tagging and filtering makes you feel like you're not back in 2013. It's modernized. There's a bunch of other stuff that I managed to dismiss. So I guess it's a surprise pot as we go through and compare this to the description of the video. Well, let's just see.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Good now, this is Daryl as a Service, and it's Daniel Glenn too. I know, I jumped in and intro'd you.
Well, then go ahead. You need to go ahead and do the rest of it.
We do, yeah. Well, this is a show where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. We do try and show you features as they arrive, but often because the message center is all about calling them out before they arrive, you'll often find headlines for stuff that we can't show you yet because we're helping prepare your organization and your people for what's coming. So welcome to those who may not have seen us before.
Welcome those that are joining us and those that have found our show and are looking for help in understanding what's coming in Office 365 and how they can enable their organization to use those features. So like Daryl said, that's what our show is all about, just telling you what's coming so you can keep track and understand what you need to do to prepare.
Well, one piece of banter before we jump into it.
Sure.
Do we call it Microsoft 365 now? I know we have been on and off, but even more so officially, don't we? Something changed there.
Yeah, this show is called the 365 Message Center show. The Message Center is actually the Microsoft 365 Message Center, technically is Microsoft 365. And with these licensing name change that is coming, where the business licenses, these are not the E or the A plans in Office 365, but the business licenses that were previously Office 365 will become now Microsoft 365. And it's my understanding in name only for now, but there'll be some tweaks to those as well, including some features coming to those. So, but yeah, I think it probably is right to call it the Microsoft 365.
Awesome. I can't say we didn't see it coming, right? You know, it's all
about... Oh, we knew it was coming. That's why we didn't name this show at the Office 365. Message Center show. We knew this was coming, but it's one of those that it's. I think a lot of people are struggling with what is this? Mm. What is the difference? In Office 365 is going away. It's not going away.
No.
It's just that license name is changing. There's a lot of news out there this past month or so that were totally wrong. I saw a reputable news agency that covers tech and Microsoft tech saying Office 365 is dead, you know, that it's gone, that nothing is Office 365 anymore. And that's not true at all.
So, well, you'll always get clicks when you say blah, blah is dead. So let's go look at something that is definitely not dead, the message center. There's plenty of stuff to do. Our first message, and you're going to find a few throughout today, which you've already seen. There is this new pattern where if there has been an update to a message, it seems like they throw some more details in there in bold. They also upfront will call out updated in the date. So starting off with basic authentication and Exchange Online April 2020 update. It's MC28814. We've seen some changes to a lot of authentication. It's upgrading and trying to make things a lot more safer. Sorry about the grammar there. There's no underlining there with grammar in my verbal voice. We continue to disable basic authentication for newly created tenants. So they are trying to get away from anything to do with that basic and less secure method. So keep an eye out for that. And anything more to say on that? Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
This other message we've got, which is, it is an updated one, so here's a good example. Teams and Skype consumer chat call and calling interop, where within Microsoft Teams, you can also connect with Skype consumer people, chat and call, something you could do with Skype for Business, and it's MC205801. What's updated here, Daniel?
Well, I think just remembering back what we covered before, this is that interop, so making sure that the that conversation can happen. The update here is just really updating instructions on how to get to the setting. That's the only thing in this update. They have added language on how to exactly get to that setting. But other than that, this message is the same.
Mm-hmm. It's in the Teams Admin Center, and you'll find it there in External Access. Consistency. Teams Meeting Experience Improvements, which is something we did read out last time, and we were lots of joyous roars of appreciation because there were some good things announced there. People getting background effects and other stuff. Anyway, that's MC28 577. The update to this one in bold is more around we will introduce the ability for users to upload their own custom images in May. So as it has been arriving, people have been going, I can't upload mine. There's only a choice of so many. When can I do my own images? So they've updated that.
And that's your answer right there.
That is it.
So, yeah.
Updated feature.
Hold on a second. What? So you didn't have the Power Apps data loss prevention message.
I didn't.
Right.
Tell us all about it.
This is MC208818. Updates coming to the Power Apps data loss prevention. And this is all about how you could set up DLP policies to make sure that your organization, the people in your organization, are not connecting to the wrong services or sharing information where they're not supposed to. And that's what this message is concerning, is that before, if you created a Power App, you could connect to services, and then a DLP policy then afterwards could be created saying, no, you can't connect to that. But there was no enforcement. And so those existing Power Apps would work. And this is telling us now that apps that are not adhering to the latest DLP policies in your organization will not launch. When you try to launch, that you'll be presented with an error message to those end users that it's not compliant with new policies. And so makers will have to open up the app and identify those connections in the application that violate the latest DLP policies and change them. Mm. I think this message is fantastic. This is exactly how it's supposed to happen. Mm. You know, you're supposed to be able to, in an organization, say, oh, there's this service. Okay, let's evaluate whether we should use it or not. Oh, let's, you know, create a DLP, a policy saying, no, we shouldn't use that service because maybe there's been a change to that service and it's more, it's higher risk or whatever. Be able to implement it, and then it cut it off rather than things just keep working. Mm. So this is exactly how it should happen. And this is starting April 20th, 2020, that'll begin to enforce this. And this is not it doesn't talk about a gradual rollout. This is an immediate rollout, which is awesome. How do you prepare for this change? This is big. I think if you're using Power Apps a lot in your organization, you need to be very aware of this because sometimes those that are creating apps and those that are enforcing policies are in different groups and may not talk to each other regularly. And so something that's been a policy that's been enforced may have a major impact on what you're doing with your application. So this is your week. You have a week to do it. Get on it. And have those groups talking and making sure that nothing that's been enforced from a DLP, from those policies, will be breaking your apps.
Yeah, that's definitely significant. I know what you mean about having that security discussion and that something's in place, but whoops, hello, it's now affected something that's mission critical in terms of how services are running. But I've got to say, another bigger picture thing about this announcement, when it was announced that people may be able to sign up and use Power Apps quite independently of the organization, throw in a credit card and the like, one concern was, hang on, they're going to be able to connect to all sorts of different services and our organizational data may or may not be able to get out there without our control. So this is exactly what should be put in place to prevent that and allow a bit of freedom, but still have some governance fences right there. So good to see. I guess I'll see that eventually in my message center. Again, calling out, there's a difference sometimes. We've got, you've got this one though, haven't you? The Bing images search and YouTube search.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's just an update on this one.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. It is. It's MC200395. Just the rollout date, yeah, end of April. Yep. Yep. So let's go back into and this one I had hastily dismissed this one. And I might get some time at the end of the show to tell you why. But you know, I've managed to rescue it back again from archives, so don't worry about that. There's a updated feature, new feature, Outlook on the web files view. So April 8th, based on learnings from early rings, we have made decision to make additional changes to the code before we proceed with the rollout. That means a lot to both change managers and the technical audience.
It is definitely applicable to everyone. That that not only is this possibly going to change functionality, but you know, obviously the rollout time is changing. I've been waiting, Daryl. I've been waiting on my Outlook and trying to for the files view, but
yeah, no joy. I know. You know, it's something that I mean, it looks familiar in terms of working within Office 365 groups. Remember that files experience where it was just about gathering files across your attachments and then presenting them in a certain way. But yeah, update was that it's gradually rolling out mid-January. Finished, completed by end of March.
Yeah, so they just have just said we're delaying this is not, they don't have an updated time frame for that right now. So they're, once they restart the rollout of the Outlook on the web feature for files view, they're going to put another announcement in the message center. So don't dismiss this message.
Mm. Okay. I won't. Again, I'll tell you why, hopefully by the end of the show. Modern experience for managed metadata services, tagging and filtering, the headline. Well, hey, why should we be excited about this MC208986? I made a wisecrack as I was introducing the show. Whenever we go back to this managed metadata thing, it always felt like it was going back to SharePoint 2013, and you know, it's a necessary thing, but it was like, it just feels so clunky. Do you think, Daniel?
Well, that's what this announcement's all about, is getting the, I'm putting words in Microsoft's mouth here, but getting the clunkiness out and just modernizing the MMS, the Managed Metadata Service. That's the first part of this. So I agree with you. The MMS is actually, in my opinion, one of the oldest features in SharePoint that's still around in the same form it was way back when. There's others, and we won't talk about those.
It actually does feel like 2010 even, doesn't it? Or was it 2007 that it still felt that way?
It's very, very old tech. It just is. And now it's worked. It's just old tech. It's slow in certain aspects, especially when you're working with navigation on SharePoint sites and using the MMS, and you're having to update the navigation. It is clunky sometimes. And so this update, I think originally, initially is going to not really be functionality, adding new functionality. Okay. But it will be updating the look and the feel and the usability of it. And then rolling out new functionality afterwards. So that's for the MMS. And then this message also talks about, you know, the new content type gallery. And I think a lot of people have worked with using the content type hub, and there's been drawbacks to that. But, you know, this new content type gallery, I think, is pretty interesting.
So the hub itself, that was about nominating a site collection where that's where you were going to store your content types, and then you could leverage it from wherever you are in SharePoint Online. It's the same effect here with the gallery. It's just done within the admin center instead of a site collection.
That's one of the differences. Yes, there will be others, and I think there was some issues with the content type hub that this is hoping to overcome. I don't think we have too much deep time to dive into those details, but this is trying to identify, or they have identified the issues there with the content type hub and are trying to rectify those issues by using this new gallery.
Yeah, I think one of those issues are around being able to update it, see those updates flow out to wherever they need to be used.
Yeah, and so the term store and the content type gallery, they're going to start rollout this month through mid-May for targeted release, and then standard release tenants will be late May to early June. So it's not here yet, so we can't show it to you.
Mm. And then that last experience there too of how end users can tag content. So once you've got the modernization of your tagging and your metadata, then there's a panel there which is more consistent with the modern experience. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, and that rollout is exactly the same. So looks like that rollout for that is the same as the others. So yeah. I'm loving this refreshing and of the SharePoint administration and enablement. So it's awesome.
That's right. All right. Now, another one that a lot of people are excited about, the raise hand feature within Microsoft Teams meetings, so at the moment we only have 4x2x2 video, and you could literally raise your hand and go, I got something to say. Or in an audio sense, you've got to jump in and be rude and kind of cut over the top of someone, because how often do people leave gaps when they talk, right? But raise hand, MC209. 022. What does it look like here? I know for the podcast listeners, you don't see this. Maybe you'll see the article, but I see in the picture here that someone has raised his hand in the bottom right-hand corner of the video. What I'd be interested to know is, what does a raised hand look like for those in the gallery that aren't
displayed? And I think that's the two things I want to know is, what's it look like in the gallery? So gallery meaning those people at the bottom of the screen. But then also the second thing is, what does it look like in the people view?
Participant view, yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I thought I saw something that there might be something there as well. But I think this is, you've hit it right on the nail on the head, Daryl. The issue with in a meeting, you know, you may want to say something, but the speaker needs to keep going to finish whatever. And so you said, yeah, you could raise your hand. Yes, you could, but you might be holding your hand there for 10 minutes and not be recognized. As well as, if I'm a speaker and I'm presenting, I'm not looking at the screen to see if somebody's got their hand raised. So, you know, this virtual hand raise will stay there and be available. And so I can look over, you know, if I'm presenting on one screen, I can look over and go, oh, someone's got their hand raised. And then that whole over talking each other. Hey, do you have any questions, anyone? Well, if you know, if you've got any number of people on, you might have two or three people speak at the same, oh no, you go ahead. Well, what's that mean? Who's you? I mean, so you have to negotiate that, and you're wasting time. So I think for, as a speaker, you can go, oh, Sarah or John or April, I see you have a question. What is it?
And well, let's look at the chat room there. Phil has a question. Joanne has something to say. None of them are raising their hands though, because we don't have a raised hand in live chat.
That's right.
There's one other thing I want to see in this, because I haven't even seen a preview of this feature, but here's hoping that when you do raise your hand, that it bumps the people to the top of the list rather than having to scroll down and go, oh, there's one. We'll see.
That would be a nice feature, and hopefully we'll be I'd like to see, I'm going to have an opportunity to use this in our Office 365 Nashville event on May 8th. We're going to be, I believe, using Teams, and we'll be able to see this whole raised hand feature work across that those many sessions. So it'll be awesome.
Good stuff. We have an updated feature, the Microsoft Forms eDiscovery export format change, and that's MC209012. Haven't really read into this much.
Wow, that's
yeah, I know.
That was nice there, Daryl.
That's so all, folks.
I did read into this. So previously, when you're exporting content out of forms, and for eDiscovery, it would give you two formats, a CSV and a PDF of the content. They're going to not do the PDF anymore, so you're only going to get the CSV, as well, though, as a JSON file, which is going to be describing the questions and the answer choices and the metadata of the form, which is nice, but you lose you lose images in that capture, you know, because of the PDF, it would give you the images and all that. But JSON brings additional functionality in this eDiscovery export, but it doesn't give you images, obviously, because it's just text. So for images, they are recommending that you can go and the URL will be in the JSON file for that image. And so you'll be able to access what that image is as long as the form, the image or the form hasn't been deleted. So there's a caveat there. If you've got a form with a bunch of images and then you delete the form or delete the images, then when you do eDiscovery, of course, those images won't, you know, you won't have those URLs for, you know, it won't work. So,
yeah. So the purpose of this is when you're running this eDiscovery, it's you're trying to just to check out what's actually happening across the forms in your organization. You're maybe running a case or something to see keywords and someone who's soliciting the extraction of data. Yeah, like sort of saying, hey, give me some info.
Yeah. You could also, you know, I mean, there's a lot of nefarious things I guess you could do with any sort of form. But, you know, if someone's doing any harassment or if there's doing any kind of a form for gathering information that has to do with a customer or a supplier, and then you're in litigation with one of them, then you would want to run eDiscovery across your organization, including your emails and such, but also including forms. So, yep.
All right. There's an awareness message. It still feels like it's something familiar. End user spam notifications missing fish mails. It's MC209071. Fish mails were not included in the end user spam notification. So we're going to? End users did not receive them across a period of time?
For a week. There's a week that they didn't receive them, and this announcement is, oops, we're going to include them in the next one.
Okay.
That they missed.
All right. So, well, I'm sad that we missed out on determining that.
But fish mails, I don't know. When you say fish mails, it makes me kind of chuckle. I don't know why.
Fish mails.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Well, yeah, okay. Well, updated feature for streamlining recipient experience for links shared with specific people. It's MC209098. This is one of four choices that you have when you share a file, and specific people is probably the safest one. It's when you're saying, I want to share this file with you and you and you, and I'll name you. I'll basically drop in your, did I sound Oprah-ish there? Sorry, I saw that smile. Adding an email address to make sure that people are going to receive this. So what does the streamlined experience look like? If we scroll on down a bit.
Yeah, if you remember, this is, they get a link, okay, but what that link would do is say, it would say you need to log in, and so you click that link and have to go through this process, and they're like, well, that's not right for people in your organization. So this is streamlining for people in your organization who click that link. They're already authenticated, so they don't need to go through the process that a user that's outside of your organization that needs to go through, such as you know, going through a dialogue saying, this is what's going to happen, you know, click next, and then they have to receive an email, right, to prove that they own that email and they just haven't intercepted, or this link hasn't been forwarded to them. So that inside your organization, people don't need to do that when they receive one of these links. That's what this message is all about.
Should I have seen that? I don't actually see that experience even now. Maybe it's just because I'm open. Opening it up within the web browser, I'm already authenticated.
Right.
That might be it. But yeah, good to see. Content query, web part performance banner. Oh, is this something to do with our current performance of Microsoft 365?
No, this is a this is actually a catch-up for organizations that have done some things in SharePoint and then they're experiencing slowness and experiencing issues with their pages and really, frankly, blaming it on SharePoint and saying, well, why is this not, well, this is so slow, what's going on? So this is also in conjunction with some other things Microsoft's doing around the panel to show you how your performance panel, how your pages are loading, what's going on. This is the this is going to give you a banner that basically says, hey, you have a content query web part that is slowing down your page and you need to get on this so that you don't you know, that you limit the amount of these. I've seen some SharePoint pages with 6 or 7 of these content query web parts, and you got to understand what's going on when that page loads. It's going out and querying all this. So this is just a warning saying, hey, these are the content query web parts that are taking too long, taking a long time to do those queries in return. So basically, hey, don't blame us. Now, I mean, it's not just a don't blame us, but it's a, you need to fix this. You need to really make sure that, you know, you do this the right way, and maybe switch to something else. You know, something like content query does it directly, maybe doing a search query instead, you know, using the search index rather than querying content directly.
Very true. Yeah, I mean, there are pros and cons to using content search. Of course, you're going to get the most recent data, but if you don't need that, then yeah, do use search instead.
That's right.
Two more. New service plan for common data services added to enable future Office features. MC209158.
This is a confusing one. Initially, it was confusing to me. What did you make of it, Daryl?
I didn't make anything of it. I read common data services and I went, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So common, the CDS is something that's existing. But this is, they're putting a new service plan in. And really, if you dive into the details, and I think maybe you go to the additional information is what you're going to need to do to find some of this information. But this is really all about project online right now. So if you have a project plan, then, you know, what that is project online. And they're doing this to enable two different services, two different types of features for Project Online. The first is the, and I think we have it there in the message, it is the view projects for individual users. So this is the ability for users to be able to see all the projects they're members of, and roadmaps for basically you're being able to have a roadmap linked additional projects all together to see one roadmap for all these different projects. And this is the first feature in Office 365, Microsoft 365, whatever, in Microsoft 365 that's using this common data service. So they're having to roll out this new plan for the common data service for you then to get this project online functionality along with other functionality that will be coming in the future. I believe the right now, the only services that will, the only E plans and associated plans, those that are corresponding to E types, plans that include this common data service will be E5s, I believe. So make sure you know, take a look at this if you're using these services, but you need to make sure for the Access project and that roadmap, for you to be able to view that information, you're going to need E5s.
So I should wake up when I read common data services, because it's not just a, no, it's going to be a good thing. All right.
It is. And this is just one of the initial things.
Well, that makes a lot more sense now to me. You know, you want to be able to have that view across all the projects and a roadmap. Mm-hmm. I can already hear some possibilities there for some of the things I'm working on. Finishing off with updated feature, get files and items from folders and subfolders. And this is just an update. We're back to being consistent again, so I can see this in bold. So MC208464, pleased to announce that this feature has completed rollout and should now be available for all your organizations. So we talked about it a while ago. I can't remember when, but this is the first time in a long time that we've had a message saying, ta-da, we're finished. That's the update.
Yes. And I think that's interesting, to be honest. Now, I will say, I don't know that they're done. They're done with this first part, because the first part was just targeted release. You know, a lot of our messages say targeted release and standard release, different time frames. This one, really, the only announcement part of the original announcement was going to targeted release late March to early April. We will update the message when we're going to standard. This update just says it has completed rolling out and should now be available to your organization. It doesn't say anything about whether that's standard and targeted or just targeted. So I like this. Ta-da, we're done, as you kind of put it. But tell us what you're done with if you're not going to be specific about.
To target the update a bit more about whether it's targeted or not.
Correct.
All right.
Get more targeted.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, get more targeted. Well, we might have just a couple of minutes to explain why a few of my messages were dismissed and I had to rescue them. And this is something coming to the message center soon. Is a button called Planner Syncing. Now, you might have caught some of our episodes, discussions, and interviews that there was a chap by the name of Brian Smith working out of the Planner and Project team who had been experimenting for a year or two and had worked a way to synchronize content from the Message Center into a Microsoft Planner. And then at Ignite, there was talk of making this process a lot easier to set up. Well, and I do have permission to talk about it a little. The feature is coming. It's going to be in preview soon. And it really was easier to set up. In fact, I was invited to a meeting. Let me just full screen this, I guess, because it doesn't look right. Now that's better. Gee, Daryl. Planner syncing right there. I was invited to a meeting to give a bit of feedback. And as it was last minute homework, I thought I better do that. So I did live stream, and you can go through and have a look, see at that. Maybe I'll link to that video. But just as a quick look, once it is set up, then it is literally bringing each message through into a planner, which you nominate, which plan, you nominate which bucket you're going to bring those messages through to. There is going to be other features and ways of splitting this up and pushing it to different buckets, if you will. But as an example, maybe all of these messages, when I hit sync, are all dropped into the unassigned bucket. And then we can go through as a team and go, okay, well, that one's for the Teams team, and this one's for the SharePoint people, and go through and maybe, you know, add the subtasks to deal with it, assign it to people. It'll always bring through the message ID and the description. So that's usually the default that's on the card. And at this stage, it's all about assigning those and working through them. So the reason I like this is it makes it far more easier and accessible for other audiences and people that will help you manage messages and respond to it, namely your less technical people in terms of change management and user adoption. They can come in and go, well, okay, that one, that raise hand thing, well, let's actually develop some messaging for that for internal comms, maybe add a change there to our learning pathways site, help people understand what it is and what to do with it. And then we'll involve a pilot group. So one thing that did catch me out as I did this, because I am in the habit of archiving messages after I've read them, the sync does not work if your messages are archived. So don't archive your messages if you're going to use this feature for now. They'll bring through. And nice thing there, just as we finish off, it does let me know from the message center when it last synced. You can kick it off manually, but just be careful that you don't bring through some duplicates.
Well, and I think that, first of all, for those that are listening to the podcast, I hope you've listened this far. I will say go back and watch the video, just where Daryl was kind of highlighting and demonstrating that. It's really hard to kind of describe, but I think he did a pretty good job there. But that's kind of the kicker, I think, with all of this, is making sure that you manage this process carefully so that you're not getting a bunch of duplicates. Because if you do, duplicates, fine, you can delete them, right? But then it gets kind of a little bit hairy, and I think, you know, people getting tired of seeing duplicates, and you know how that fatigue that sets in.
Haven't we dealt with this before? I guess it's the same thing you and I go through as we go through the show. Haven't we seen this one before? So they will have to account for that here in the Planner experience too, that if they update the message, what does that look like in Planner? And you know, how does that get combined? So yeah, keep an eye out for that. That should be coming out soon.
Daryl, if I may, one thing that was talked about in the chat room was an advisory that's out for SharePoint Online right now.
Okay.
There's potential issues with the search index. If you go and re-index content in SharePoint Online, there is a possibility that the index will be empty, meaning search won't work for that, whatever you just re-indexed. So make sure you're checking out the service health dashboard for your organization, and check that out if it's an advisory for you. So just wanted to call that out, that in the chat room that was mentioned by Joanne concerning that. So just keep on top of that. Hopefully they're rolling out a fix soon, because that's a big deal. We mentioned search so earlier in the show as a fix or something, and so that's kind of a big deal. So and the second thing is, make sure everybody goes out and signs up for Microsoft 365 Nashville's event. It's an Office 365 event that covers all the technologies. O365Nashville.org. There's my shameless plug. I'm done.
Oh, well, and then let's throw another shameless plug in there for M365 May.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
Australia,
right.
And New Zealand, yes. and a few others as well. We're running there's a lot of online events. There's plenty of learning around. I guess it's a smorgasbord, really. Take your pick. If you like the sound of a session, wherever it is, whatever it is, then you can go along, and no need for travel.
That's right.
Pull up a chair.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, thanks for everyone tuning in. See you again on the next show, episode 141 next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.